minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, well, I just saw some news. I was hoping it would be a return for MPJ Jamal Murray, but it sounds like for the Suns, they're going to get maybe Chris Paul back tonight. Is that the case?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be the case. He's listed as probable for the game tonight. You know, he, in the last few days, has really improved, and well, look, he hasn't played since the All-Star break, and he had a fractured thumb. Since then, he's improved greatly. He practiced earlier this week, and obviously, Phoenix played yesterday. He did not play in that game, but he also did not have the thumb brace on as well. So all signs kind of pointed toward maybe a return for this game, or maybe a return soon after this game. But the Phoenix Suns made that official. Just a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact, saying that he's probable for the game. So it looks like he'll return to action against the Nuggets. Wah, wah, wah.
Well, I know, right? You never root for a guy to get hurt or not to be hurt. But it's like, can you just take one more night off, man? Just one more night of relaxation before this game, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Especially with that guy. We know how effective he is on the court.
Yeah, no, he's fun to watch when you're not watching him play the Nuggets. However, Suns played last night, and you were kind of rooting for the Suns last night, so this could work out perfectly. Okay, great. Thanks, Suns. You helped us out with Minnesota. Now Denver hopefully can take care of them on a back-to-back.
Yeah, that was that was a good part. You're right about that. So the Nuggets have a game and a half cushion over the Timberwolves for that seventh spot, for the sixth spot. And it was a big deal that they went in and won that game. Phoenix did yesterday, and you know, you are getting a team that maybe a little bit weary on a second of a back-to-back, but they just have, you know, Phoenix has taken care of business so well this season that you can't even look at a back-to-back and say, oh, we're catching a team like that at the right time. They just have been really, really good no matter what the scenario is all season long. So, the Nuggets have their work cut out for them, and we'll see. You know, we'll see what they can do. But if they were able to win and get a two-game cushion over the Minnesota Timberwolves, that would be huge, obviously, because just, you know, in less than a week or about a week, the Nuggets are going to face the Timberwolves. And, you know, if you have a two-game cushion or a game-and-a-half cushion by the time they meet on April 1st, you know, that could be the final nail or one of the final nails, in the coffin for the Timberwolves in terms of their aspirations to get in that top six. So, hopefully the Nuggets can take care of business here tonight.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the schedules, it does line up nicely for the Nuggets. It seems like, anyway, on paper, but you never know with Denver sometimes. Michael Malone gets the extension, Chris. And I think that, like, you're in this championship window. Maybe this year is up in the air. Who knows? Because of MPJ and Jamal, and we'll get to that. But I absolutely love it. And, you know, you look at everything he's done. Being a head coach for the Nuggets, almost every year has been better than the last. I know the bubble year was that crazy exception. You go to the Western Conference Finals, but this is for those naysayers looking at, you know, maybe Michael Malone's not the guy to get him over that hump. It's like, my goodness, so just a few years ago, you were worried about getting past the first round, and then Brian Shaw comes in. You can't even sniff the playoffs. You got a guy that's been to the playoffs the last 3 years, and he's getting past those first rounds. So I guess I just look at it and say, who else do you want that can get them over that hump? Look at the competition in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and it's been a wild ride for Nuggets fans, right? So you had George Karl, and he won all those games, could never get out of the first round. I think he did it one time. Got to the Western Conference Finals. And so at that point in time, you had fans going, well, this guy, he can't get us out of the first round. We're always losing in the first round. Okay, you get Brian Shaw, then you don't go to the playoffs at all, as you just alluded to. And, you know, people forgot what it was to have a team that always got in the playoffs. So then you get Michael Malone and what they were doing, with him and Tim Connelly and Josh Kroenke in terms of building building something that is sustainable. They didn't go to the playoffs at first, but then they did. And since they've been in the playoffs, he always gets out in the first round, yeah. You know? And so it's a he has done a remarkable job. He really, really has. You know, Nuggets fans, as old as I am, you know, I can only remember maybe two times in my life, well, three times in my life that the Nuggets ever got out of the first round prior to Michael Malone. And so what he's doing right now, I think is really, really well done and great. And this extension is well deserved by him. I agree with you here. The Western Conference has been wicked, you know, ever since he's been here. And, you know, it's not easy to rise to the top in this conference. The Nuggets are trying to do that. Obviously, that is very difficult when you don't have Jamal Murray and MPJ. And, you know, we'll see if they come back or if they don't. You know, this team certainly sets up to be a contender next season. But Brady, I think at the end, by the time he leaves Denver, I think he'll have been the longest tenured Nuggets coach ever. And I think he'll have the most wins ever, and he'll have the most playoff wins. He can get that this year, the most playoff wins ever.
Wow!
Just by winning one series. One series, he'll tie.
Crazy.
He'll tie Doug Moe, and then he'd probably just break that in the next. So he's done great things.
Well, and he'll have the most MVPs ever, too. I mean, he'll lock that one up. Might add some insurance to that this year. I'm feeling, there are 9 games left? You got to feel like it's feeling like the Joker. I mean, I was listening to Stan Van Gundy say he's thinking that he's the guy. A couple of different, you know, national media members are saying it now, which not that we necessarily need that because he didn't need it last year. But to me, that just kind of further cements his case.
Yeah, it's he's looking good for it. And Joel, I mean, this really is. I know there's Giannis out there, and he's playing really well. And Milwaukee has risen to the third spot in the Eastern Conference. So there's always the Giannis situation out there. But this really is Nikola Jokic versus Joel Embiid. That's what this is. And each night, what these players do is amazing. You know, Joker with 30-14 in the win over the Clippers, and however many assists, I think it was 5. And then, you know, Joel Embiid last night goes off against the Lakers, and this is what they're doing, back and forth and back and forth. And so it'll just be very, very interesting to see which one of these two players wins. But what we know is that Nikola Jokic probably has spent the most time this season as the front runner of the award. And, you know, we'll see if that can carry him to, you know, through to the finish line. You know, it looks like the Nuggets are going to finish probably no better than 5th in the Western Conference, but that record probably might be actually equally as good as Philadelphia's. And Philadelphia would have finished way higher in the Eastern Conference. That your record, your little worse record goes a long way. So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to seeing how the votes shake down. But the Joker certainly is in good position to win back-to-back.
Yeah, wow. Look at that. You go from not having an MVP to potentially 2 years in a row. Got to be putting him in that. You know, I was talking about this earlier, Chris. It's like, I don't know that you put him, like, really in. You're not going to put him in the GOAT territory. I mean, we're talking Jordan and Bryant and Johnson, all these great guys. But you're at least, like, sliding him over a little bit, right? Like, he's looking at it from afar. I mean, again, if he goes and wins a championship at some point, then maybe we're getting there. But 2 MVP titles, you at least are – the fact that we're even kind of bringing it up right now, we're at least at that point, right?
Yes. You win 2 MVPs, and then, as you say, if you stack a title on that, then what you're talking about is one of the greatest centers of all time. And for Nikola Jokic, he just goes out and does this every day. His production, his improvement in his production, especially when lifting a basketball team, winning in clutch time, his plays in clutch time, his play in the playoffs. Like, this guy never takes a day off, and you never look at a big chunk of time and go, "Oh, yeah, man, Nikola Jokic is in a slump." Like, I just can't remember the last time we would have ever said that about
right.
him, you know, and so. But when these type of major awards start stacking up, you start to put yourself in the conversation of all-time greats, you know, just in NBA history. And then if you put the title on top of that, wow, I mean, you know, it'll be a full-blown debate and conversation about where he fits in terms of the greatest players at his position. And quite honestly, depending on what this position looks like going forward, even after he retires, what his legacy on how the position is played will be very, very interesting. Will we see more centers with the ability to facilitate, to run offense right through them at the elbow, not just on the block? And then be very high assist players, high playmaking players, as well as shooters, I mean scorers, rebounders, and maybe shot blockers as well. So there's a lot of, it's very complex, his legacy and his impact on this game, but certainly he's starting to put himself into some rarefied air conversation.
It's interesting, too, watching March Madness. I mean, not every team is like this, but some of the good ones, you know, you see their big men. They're not just big men, you know. They're not just doing the things right by the rim. They are kind of working around that free throw line extended a little bit. So I don't know if that's a joker thing, but we are kind of seeing more teams looking for those kind of guys because, I mean, that's a weapon. If you can get a seven-footer or close to that that can hit outside shots, my goodness. Chris, all right, where are we with the Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. meter? I feel like, you know, every week it's you know, if we feel really good, and then the next week it's, I don't know, and then the next week feel really good again. That's kind of how these injuries go, though. Look at Klay Thompson. I think we were ready for him to play way before he actually stepped foot back on the basketball floor.
That's true. And then there's a even more recent example of just exactly how long this can be. And that is Jonathan Isaac with the Orlando Magic. And just a couple of weeks ago, more recent than that, the Magic announced that he would not play this season. He tore his ACL in 2020. Mm. And so it has taken this long for him to even, well, he's still not playing yet. And so when you look at that, you understand that sometimes an ACL injury you can bounce back from that a little bit faster. Sometimes it takes a really long time. And for Jamal Murray, you know, there was so much hope going into the Grand Rapids practices because it was, you know, usually you see a player go for a G League stint, that player is on the way back. You know, I mean, it's not like, I don't know if he's coming back. And so, you know, I don't know how that went for him down there, but, you know, apparently not well enough that they could bring him back up and give a concrete timetable for his return. So, you know, there's only 9 games left, and nobody has said that there is a drop-dead date in terms of if these players don't return to the court by this particular game, then they won't return to the court. But, Brady, I have to believe that that's got to be 3 to 4 games to go in the regular season. I mean, if we get to 4 and then down to 3 and we haven't seen either one of those two, you're not ramping up a player, I don't think. You're not ramping up a player 3 games to play in the playoffs, the most intense games of the season. And so, you know, it's a very difficult situation right now, and certainly we're all waiting and seeing. We don't know. It seems like there's a little bit of a damper on it for both players right now.
All right, so last one for you then, Chris. Let's assume the worst here. Let's just do that. That way we're pleasantly surprised. If Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., they don't come back, looking at the playoff potential here, I mean, we could be looking at what? Golden State, maybe with no Steph Curry, we'll see. Memphis Grizzlies, depending on where we move. Would you rather, would you rather the Nuggets play Memphis, Golden State, or Utah in the first round, depending on how that would work out?
Boy, that's 3 very wicked teams to have to play.
Right.
Wow. Which is the least? You know, I guess for me, just having covered sports over time, I think I would just pick on the team that's the youngest. So the Memphis Grizzlies, yeah. Even though it's probably the most talented fight off the bottom of them.
Yeah, it's like pick your poison, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they did make the playoffs last year, obviously, so they have just a scant bit of playoff experience. But I think it's still a team that maybe you can get into a thick of a series, maybe trick a little bit, come out with some victories, maybe get a road victory or two, and then try to win your home games. And so the Memphis Grizzlies are so talented. I mean, we just watched them last night beat Brooklyn without Ja Morant. I mean, that's just how good they are. And but I still think teams like that still have lessons to be learned in the playoffs and in the postseason. And sometimes you can get a team like that in there and, you know, get them in a real fight over the course of 7 games, and then see if they're willing, if the pressure, you know, if they understand how to execute and what it means to be able to win a playoff series. You know, it's kind of like when the Nuggets in 2009 went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets were as good and maybe even better than the Lakers that year. The Lakers have been to the Western Conference Finals before. They've been to the NBA Finals before. And when you get into those situations, there are always these inflection moments in the games and in the series that you had better understand how to handle the pressure, how to handle the magnitude of the moment, and then execute your way through that. And what we saw in that series was the Nuggets throw away two inbound passes that were at points in the game where the Nuggets could have won a game or won both of those games and won a series and taken themselves to the NBA Finals. But my point is they weren't ready yet because they hadn't been there. And the gravity of the moment got to them. And so can that happen to a young team like the Memphis Grizzlies? Yeah, maybe so, because there's still not a ton of playoff experience with those guys, even though they are uber talented and led by one of the very best guards in the NBA.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be a tough road either way, especially without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., but we'll see. We'll keep our eyes out, and we'll see what happens tonight. Denver and Phoenix going at it. What time do you guys get rolling, Chris?
We get rolling at 6:30 with the pregame show. And then 7 o'clock, the game. I'll be on the sideline for that game. And yeah, it should be very, very interesting. Hopefully, there's not as many Phoenix Suns fans as there were like Boston Celtics fans. But the Phoenix Suns fans do tend to come out, so it'll be probably a very energized atmosphere.
Yeah, what are we doing, Denver fans? We got to load that up with Nuggets fans. Bones Highland was 100%
right. Buy the tickets.
Yeah, I hear you, my friend. Chris, looking forward to it. We'll be watching tonight, my man.
All right, thank you. We'll see you then.
All right, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. If you're a Nuggets fan, go. If you have friends that are Suns fans, you say no. That's what you say. Or whatever, Golden State fans. And if they're in, you gotta just do better than that. All right, 22 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about Colorado State, the football side of things. Are they going to get back to maybe even a new and improved Mike Bobo type of team? Bobo's offense was kind of exciting. We'll get to that next.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.